Today, on The Journey.
Test the truth. Make sure you understand that you are in a world that is trying to destroy you and your reputation and your relationship with God. Don't believe everything you hear. Test the truth.
Shiny new things will always capture our attention. And if we let them, they'll blind us to the truth that was settled long ago. In view of that hard reality, today Ron Moore offers instruction from the disciple whom Jesus loved. It's divine guidance to help ensure you aren't blinded by false light. First, I want you to know about Ron's life-changing publication on prayer. It's titled, Engage, 30 Days to a More Powerful Prayer Life. This 63-page booklet explores the often mystifying practice of prayer with thoughts gleaned from key scripture passages. It's available for a gift of any amount, and you'll find it at ronmoore.org. Your donation today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with the message titled, Test on the Journey.
Today was July the 2nd, 1863. The place was Gettysburg, and the battle was for a strategic piece of land on top of a rocky hill called Little Round Top. On the wooded side of that hill, the Yankees from Maine and the rebels from Alabama fought one of the bloodiest battles of the Civil War, and many would say the turning point of the Civil War. One of the officers that day was a man named Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain. Chamberlain was a professor, and after the war, he became a college president and then later the governor of Maine. But on that day in 1863, he was a young commander leading the troops from Maine. Before the battle, a Colonel Strong Vincent, who later died of wounds he received that day, explained to Chamberlain what was at stake. And in his book called The Killer Angels, Michael Shera pieces that conversation together. It went something like this. Vincent said to Chamberlain, "You are the extreme left of the Union line. Do you understand this?" "Yes," Chamberlain said. "The line runs from here all the way back to Gettysburg, but it stops here. Do you know what that means?" "Of course." Vincent said, "You cannot withdraw under any conditions. If you go, the line is flanked. If you go, they'll go right up the hilltop and take us from the rear. You must defend this place to the last." "Yes," Chamberlain said. "Now we'll see how professors fight," Vincent said. That day, Chamberlain and his men were out of ammunition, but they had to stand and fight. So Chamberlain strategically split them up into two groups, put on their bayonets, and at his order at different times, the Union Army came from the sides of the rebels coming up the hill, and they won the battle. Many say that was the turning point for victory for the Union. Congress gave Chamberlain the Medal of Honor for quote-unquote conspicuous gallantry. Men, we understand that we are in a spiritual battle, don't we? And we understand that we are the end of the line. If the enemy breaks through us, he will take our family from behind. You cannot withdraw under any conditions. You must fight to the last. You know what's at stake. And so just as Vincent looked at Chamberlain and said, "We're going to see how professors fight. We're going to see how you fight for your family." And the question is, when you stand before God, and you will, just as sure as I'm standing here today, will he look you in the eye and give you the Medal of Honor for conspicuous gallantry? Do you begin to answer that the day of your first child's cry? And you keep answering it and will continue to answer it for the rest of your life. Take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 John as we continue through this study. And as you're turning there, let me set the context. John has been telling us that we live in the world. And John has told us that the system of the world is Satan's domain. It is the system that opposes God. Jesus says that Satan is the prince of the world. And so here we have Satan's domain. The prince of the world, Jesus says. Paul says that Satan is the god of this age, the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Jesus says in John 10:10 that Satan's mission, his reason for being, is to kill, steal, and destroy. Fathers, that's what Satan wants to do with you. He wants to kill and destroy your reputation. He wants to kill and destroy your relationships. He wants to kill and destroy your marriage. He wants to kill and destroy your influence on your children, your family. Jesus said this about Satan in John chapter 8:44. Satan was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. And that's the world we live in. And right in the middle of Satan's domain, here we stand as believers. And Satan's lies and the world and the system comes at us. It comes at us from all sides. Every day we stand in this domain. And John says, how are you going to stand there? And how, as a father, are you going to know and lead your family from error to the truth? First, John chapter 4, verse 1. John now is an older man. He's in his 70s or 80s when life expectancy was 50s. He is an elder statesman in the church, and when he looks at the church, he wants to protect the church and guard the church and teach the church, and he looks at the church as his family, as his children. He says, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether or not they are from God, for many false prophets have gone out into the world. John is speaking to the entire church, men and women, boys and girls. And he is saying, here is what you have to do. First, don't believe every spirit. Spirit here, just think of teacher, false prophets. Don't believe every teacher. And the construction of the Greek there is, you've already started believing them. You've already started following after them. So we could say it like this. John is saying, stop believing every teacher. When you hear something, whether it's in the church or from the world, you have to test it to see if it is of the truth, to see if it is from God. To test means that you evaluate it, you examine it. You just don't believe everything you hear. And that's what John is telling us. Test the truth. Make sure you understand that you are in a world that is trying to destroy you and your reputation and your relationship with God. Don't believe everything you hear. Test the truth. But you say, I hear a lot of messages, even Christian messages, and they talk about Jesus a little bit, and they look so good, and they just present themselves so well. They're attractive. We always fall for what's attractive. Jesus said, Matthew chapter 7, verse 15, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Matthew 24, 24, for false Christs and false prophets will arise and perform great signs and wonders so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Satan can sure put you on the sidelines, can't he? He can render you ineffective. So how do you know if you're buying a lie? How do you know you're not letting the world seep into your heart? And if it's seeping into your heart, it's seeping into the life of your family. Three things. One, you got to know the truth. We'll talk more about that in a second. But if you don't know what's real, then you don't know what's not real. If you don't know the truth, you don't know error. And so you have to know the truth. Secondly, you have to examine a teacher's lifestyle. Do they represent the humility of Jesus. Remember what John said back in chapter 2 when we studied that? Verse 15, do not love the world, the system of the world, the lies that the world sends to you, or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father can't be in him. He can't coexist with the love of the world and the love of the Father. For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh, the desires of the eyes, the pride of life is not from the Father, but from the world. And so when you are looking at those who are teaching you, whatever they are teaching, I don't care if they name the name Jesus, you got to make sure their lifestyle actually demonstrates what it looks like to follow Jesus. The third thing, John says, is that you got to test their doctrine. What are they truly teaching? Look at verses 2 and 3 in chapter 4. By this, you will know the Spirit of God. Every spirit, or again, teacher, that confesses, I love the Greek word confess, made up of two words, the same and speak, to speak the same. So you're saying the same thing. Confess is to say the same thing as God's word. Every teacher that confesses that Jesus has come in the flesh is from God. And every spirit that does not confess Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, not the Antichrist, but John just calls false teachers Antichrists, which you heard was coming and is now in the world. John says they are out there. Some of them in John's day were coming and speaking at the churches. In our day, they're on television, they're on the internet, the books you read, they are all over. We are inundated by teaching. We have to know what's true and what's not. And John says, here's the bottom line, here's the basis, here's the foundation of truth. Jesus Christ has come in the flesh and is from God. In that statement, John does not waste one word. Let's just go through each one. First, John says Jesus, in Hebrew, Yahshua. That word means Yahweh is salvation. God is salvation. Remember, the angel said to Mary, you're going to have a child and you're going to call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. God is salvation. So right in the name Jesus is the gospel. God is salvation. It also is his human name. Remember, in that day, there were Gnostics who believed that all material was evil, that Jesus couldn't have come in flesh because that would mean he was evil. Docetism during that time said Jesus just appeared to come in the flesh. And John's saying, no, that's his human name. His human name is the gospel. God is salvation, but that's his human name. But it doesn't stop there. He's human, and he's also fully God. Jesus Christ. Jesus, God is salvation. Christ in Greek, Messiah, means the anointed one. He is God himself. Every time we hear Jesus Christ, that is the pure gospel. God is salvation. God came in the flesh. He is fully God, fully man. Jesus Christ has come. We're not waiting on him. He's already come and he's already completed his work. When John says he has come, John's saying he has come and remember what he did when he was here. He came and he walked among us. John said, I touched him, I saw him, I heard him, firsthand account. And I watched him die on the cross. And we know now when he died on the cross, he died for your sins and my sins. He bore our sin in his body on the cross. He took God's wrath on himself for us. And then John would say something else. You know what else I saw? I saw him when he had risen from the dead. He is Jesus Christ who has come. John has already said that Jesus came in the flesh just by his name, Jesus. But remember, he's in that time where Gnosticism was rampant through the church. And so he's going to drill it down again, just in case you missed it in his name. He came in the flesh. He is fully God. He is fully man. And he is from God. Everything Jesus did is designed and carried out by God. It was God's idea. God loved us so much that he gave his only son so that we could have an eternal relationship with the living God. That, John says, is the basis. That's where you start when you are looking at teaching, anywhere, anytime, whether it's coming from the church or whether it's coming from out there. Jesus, fully man, fully God, Christ, the anointed one from God, he has come and he has done his work and it's complete and I can add nothing to it. And he has come from God because God loved me so much that he wanted a relationship with me and he sent his son. If you want to get down to the brass tacks of what a person believes, you ask them these questions. Number one, you ask them, is Jesus fully man and fully God? Number two, you ask them, did Jesus die on the cross as a substitute for my sins? Number three, did Jesus rise again from the dead? And number four, here's the kicker, is Jesus the only way to God? Not a good way, not one of many ways. Is Jesus the only way to God? Now again, you got to know the truth, and you're going to fall into error every time. That would be tragic, guys, if it was just us. But it's our families. It's our kids. If you have a son or daughter, he called you to be a father. And he called you to lead as a father. And he called you to stand as a father. Look at verse 4. Little children, you are from God. God brought you to himself through Jesus, and you have overcome them. You have overcome the world. You don't have to succumb to that. God has called us out of the darkness into his wonderful light. And when we have a relationship with the living God, we know this, the power of the world is no match for God. We have within us the power to stand up to anything and everything Satan would throw at us. And we know in Christ we are safe, safe with two S's. We are significant. You men, your job does not make you significant. One of these days, after 40 years of sacrificing your life, they're going to give you a watch and they're going to tell you, thank you, and they're not going to miss you on Monday morning. Our significance has to be in Jesus Christ alone. Your security is not in how much you make. There are too many guys who have fallen after the world's system to make as much money as they can because, you know what, Ron, I got to provide for my family. That's true. And I got to take them to Disney World, yeah, and I got to pay for all their college. I hear that with guys who say, you know, I think God's called me to something else, but I can't get out of this. Security is not in money or the house you live in or what you drive. That is a lie of the world. Significance, security, acceptance. You don't have to be a people pleaser anymore. You don't have to speak the same language or be in the same system of the world anymore because your acceptance is not people around you. Your acceptance comes from one person, Jesus Christ. And you are a child of God, and you'll always be. You're forgiven. Remember, John's told us he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then one more, we're empowered. We're significant, secure, accepted, forgiven, and empowered. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. We can stand alone, and we can stand strong, not because of who we are, but because of who we are in Christ. Now, false teachers are slick, and they know enough truth to deceive, and they may be intelligent, and they may be powerful, but look at verse 5. They are from the world. They are infected with the world system. They are spewing the lies of Satan. Therefore, they speak from the world, and the world listens to them. Isn't that true? The world will flock to people who say things they want to hear. The world's not threatened by that message because it's the same language as the world. You can throw Jesus in there a little bit. And many Christians will naively fall in line with the rest of the world. Read USA Today, and you would think every teenager is involved in promiscuity and that every person has a same-sex attraction and that transgender is normal. Read Time Magazine. You would think taking the life of a baby is as inconsequential in a woman's life as like having a piece of pizza. That's what Time Magazine says. Go to a secular college campus where many professors are on a mission to rip the faith right out of your child's heart. You better be doggone sure you have prepared them for that. That you have built into their life a faith that is real. And you better be sure when you send them there that you find the Christian organizations that's going to be on them. Because if you don't, then they're going to be one of those statistics that we always talk about of kids who leave the church and they forsake the truth. So, verse 6. We're not of the world. We're from God. And whoever knows God listens to us. The apostles basically saying they listen to God's word. Whoever is not from God does not listen to us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. John says, this is not rocket science. You can figure this out. By this you're going to know the truth and you're going to know what is wrong. But men, it all starts with you. As a father, as a leader, do you know God's word? Do you know the basics of the Christian faith? Do you know what you believe? You cannot impart what you do not possess. How are you going to allow your kids to truly experience what it means to follow Jesus? You got to make sure, as a parent, you allow them to be stretched. You allow them to see God's goodness. You allow them to see God's grace. You allow them to see God's comfort. You put them in situations where they don't always succeed so that they experience what the good father's like when you fail. Because you're going to stand before God. He's going to say, I want to see how you fight.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a look at our next time together. Prayer. That word and the practice of it fills you with great hope and struggling doubt. You wonder, what precisely is prayer? And how can I pray in a way that God hears and responds to me? Those are the questions answered in Ron Moore's insightful devotional titled, Engage, 30 Days to a More Powerful Prayer Life. During this month-long journey, you'll learn how living in awe of God, submitting to His will, and resting in daily dependence on Him can make prayer engaging and effective. Engage, 30 Days to a More Powerful Prayer Life is yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a preview of our next broadcast.
Love in Scripture. It expresses itself in concrete action. Love is not abstract. It's not a theory. It's an action that takes place in our life. It's produced not on our own, but it's produced because God is living in us.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. And please drop by our website to order your printed copy of Engage, 30 Days to a More Powerful Prayer Life. This daily devotional will give your prayer time purpose and joy. Engage, 30 Days to a More Powerful Prayer Life is available for a gift of any amount when you visit us at ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Also, we invite you to have a look at our church website at BibleChapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is BibleChapel.org. BibleChapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? Your kind recommendation is greatly appreciated. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron again next time as we walk together on the journey.